You're listening to ATIS on Radio Hanger. I'm Tower. Let me ask you something. What kills an airline? You're probably thinking a crash, a bankruptcy filing, maybe a pandemic that empties every seat on every route. But there's something quieter, slower, and in some ways more devastating. Sanctions. Not bombs. Not hijackings. Paperwork. Export restrictions. A parts catalog that suddenly has nothing in it. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com, here's what you need to know. When a country gets hit with aviation sanctions, the headlines usually focus on the flashy stuff. Flight bans, route cancellations, airspace closures, but the real damage? It happens in maintenance hangars, parts warehouses, and the offices of certification authorities. It happens slowly, and by the time you see the results, the airline is already dying. Let's talk about how this actually works, because the headline doesn't tell the whole story. Modern commercial aircraft are built from a global supply chain. A single Boeing 737 or Airbus A320 has parts sourced from dozens of countries. Engines from the United States, France, or the United Kingdom. Avionics from multiple manufacturers spread across North America and Europe. Landing gear components, hydraulic seals, turbine blades, even the tires. All of it flows through a web of export licenses, end-user agreements, and regulatory approvals. When sanctions hit, that web doesn't just get tangled, it gets cut. And the first thing that disappears isn't the airplane. It's the ability to keep the airplane safe. Think about it from an operator's perspective. You've got a fleet of Western-built jets. You need a fan blade for a CFM56 engine. Normally, you call your supplier, the parts ships. Your mechanics install it, and the airplane goes back on the line. Under sanctions, that call goes nowhere. The manufacturer can't sell to you. The distributor can't ship to you. The certification authority in the sanctioned country may not even have the technical data to approve a repair. So what happens next? This is where it gets dangerous. Airlines under sanctions don't just park their fleets overnight. They try to keep flying, and that means they start cannibalizing. They pull parts from one aircraft to keep another in the air. A fleet of 50 airplanes becomes 40 flying and 10 sitting on the ramp as organ donors. Then it's 30 and 20. Then it's 20 and 30, the math only goes one direction. Russia is the most visible example right now. After the invasion of Ukraine in 2022, Western nations imposed sweeping sanctions that included aviation. Boeing and Airbus stopped selling parts and providing technical support. Lessors who owned hundreds of aircraft in Russian airlines fleets demanded their planes back. Russia's response was to effectively seize those leased aircraft and attempt to maintain them domestically. The numbers are staggering. Russian airlines were operating roughly 780 Western-built aircraft when sanctions hit. Within the first year, dozens were grounded for parts. Russian authorities moved to develop domestic alternatives for some components, but you don't reverse engineer a modern turbofan engine or a fly-by-wire flight control system overnight. Or in a decade, for that matter. And here's the safety dimension that should concern every pilot listening. When you can't get certified parts, you face a choice. Fly without the part, fly with an uncertified substitute, or don't fly. The first two options degrade safety margins. The third one kills revenue. Airlines under financial pressure and political pressure to keep operating don't always make the conservative choice. Iran has lived this reality for decades. Iranian airlines have operated under various levels of American sanctions since 1979. Their fleet includes aging aircraft that would have been retired years ago anywhere else. Parts are sourced through gray markets or manufactured locally without the original equipment manufacturer's oversight. The Iranian aviation safety record reflects this reality, and it's not good. But this isn't just about adversarial nations. Sanctions are a tool, and they can affect anyone. Countries that find themselves on the wrong side of geopolitical disputes can see their aviation sectors crippled almost overnight, and the ripple effects extend beyond the sanctioned country. Lessors take massive write-downs on seized aircraft. Insurance markets tighten. Manufacturers lose revenue from aftermarket parts and service contracts that were reliable income streams for decades. This affects you if you think about it broadly enough. The global aviation parts market depends on trust, traceability, and certification. When sanctioned operators start sourcing parts outside normal channels, some of those parts enter a gray market that eventually touches the legitimate supply chain. Bogus parts, which is the industry term for unapproved or counterfeit components, have been a concern for decades. Sanctions increase the incentive to produce and traffic them. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, and the European Union Aviation Safety Agency both maintain programs to detect bogus parts, but the system relies partly on the integrity of the supply chain. When you fracture that chain with sanctions, you create gaps that bad actors can exploit. There's also the question of what happens when sanctions are lifted. An airline that has been cannibalizing its fleet and deferring maintenance for years doesn't just snap back to normal when the restrictions end. The aircraft that were kept flying may have accumulated deferred maintenance items that are expensive and time-consuming to address. The aircraft that were parked and stripped for parts may be beyond economical repair. Returning to compliance with international safety standards is a process that takes years and costs billions. Let me put some scale on this. A single set of landing gear for a widebody aircraft can cost over $1 million. A replacement engine runs 10 to 30 million depending on the type. Now multiply that across a fleet of hundreds of aircraft that have been operating outside normal maintenance channels for years. The bill to return to full airworthiness is often more than the aircraft are worth. And then there's the human factor. Maintenance technicians in sanctioned countries lose access to manufacturer training programs, updated technical manuals, and service bulletins. Aviation is an industry where knowledge has to stay current. Procedures change, airworthiness directives are issued, new inspection techniques are developed. When your maintenance workforce is cut off from that flow of information, their skills degrade even if their dedication doesn't. Some countries have tried to build domestic alternatives. Russia has the MC-21 program aimed at replacing Boeing and Airbus narrowbodies with a domestically produced aircraft, but that program has itself been hampered by sanctions on Western components that were originally part of the design. Replacing a Pratt & Whitney engine with a domestic alternative isn't just an engineering challenge, it's a recertification challenge. It's a manufacturing challenge, it's a decade-long project even under ideal conditions. The strategic lesson here is that aviation is uniquely vulnerable to sanctions because of its dependence on a concentrated supply chain. There are really only two major airframe manufacturers for commercial jets. There are only a handful of engine makers. The expertise and tooling to produce these systems is concentrated in a small number of countries. If those countries collectively decide to cut you off, there is no workaround that doesn't involve accepting degraded safety or grounding your fleet. For general aviation pilots, the parallel is worth thinking about. Your Lycoming or Continental engine depends on a parts supply chain too. Your avionics are manufactured by a small number of companies. The system works because access is open and parts flow freely. But it's a reminder that the ability to fly safely depends on infrastructure that extends far beyond your hangar. One more angle on this. When airlines in sanctioned countries can't maintain their Western-built fleets, they sometimes turn to alternative suppliers. Chinese and Russian manufacturers are working to fill the gap. But their products don't have the same track record, the same certification basis, or the same global support network. The long-term effect of sanctions may be to fragment the global aviation market into competing ecosystems with different standards, different parts, and different safety records. That's a future nobody in aviation should want. The bottom line is this: sanctions don't make headlines the way crashes do, but their effect on aviation safety is real, measurable, and ongoing. Every aircraft flying today with deferred maintenance, uncertified parts, or undertrained mechanics, because of sanctions, represents a risk, not just to the passengers on that airplane, but to the system that keeps all of us safe in the sky. Today's reporting draws from coverage by Simple Flying on how sanctions dismantle airlines from the inside out. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Fly safe, and I'll see you next time on ATIS.